No, there is no success without doing what you love and being someone you love. If you have to sacrifice those things, you're missing a core part of the framework of success.
There is no success without doing what you love and being someone that you love. That comes from today's guest, my friend Ryan Hartley. If you don't know who he is, y'all are in for a treat, family. And if this is your first time listening, you don't even know who I am, what's up? Nice to meet you. I'm Heather Parody. I am your host. Today, I just had a chat. Not going to lie to you. Just connected and talked to a good friend of mine out in the UK who leads this incredible community called Always Better Than Yesterday. He teaches a lot about this thing called heart set. In a world where, you know, mindset is the only thing that we get preached at. What does it mean to be a leader that leads with love? How can we lead ourselves better? How can we learn to get more comfortable in our own skin? I don't know if you've picked this up or not. I'm a very high energy, kind of hyper ADD wired type gal. And it's so funny whenever I talk to Ryan because he's so calm and like breathes between his sentences. And I'm so grateful for friends like him in my life because it just kind of reminds me like, all right, Heather, calm down. Focus. It's just an awesome balance, you know? Today we dig into attracting opportunities in our lives versus the daily grind, being heart-centered online while navigating putting out online content. Praise the Lord. Speaking of the Lord, also an encounter Ryan had with God that completely changed his life. Y'all, this is a good one. Take a screenshot, drop it in your stories, tag me and Ryan both. Let us know what you thought about this, how to lead with love. First question I asked Ryan, does he feel like an against the grain kind of leader?
Back in the days, so my background, I spent 12 years in the UK police as a civilian, and I took comfort in belonging, and I took comfort in being part of something, and I had a real desire to be significant. I come from a single parent background. I just want to be loved, you know, and that kind of showed up when I showed up, you know, when I showed up to the police and there was some scrutiny and judgment about some of my content, it really triggered me.
Your online content?
Yeah, some of my online content, like meditation's weird and what does Ryan Hartley know about leadership? You know, these sort of comments.
They would come out and say that to you.
They were said about me at a promotion panel. a panel to see whether I got on a senior leadership program.
Wow, in front of you?
No.
You just heard about it. Oh,
so
God.
Someone had the courage to tell me. Because they thought that would help me grow. It crushed me. And then I think the against the grain bit is I wanted to fit in, but I didn't want to lose myself in doing that. And I've always had the courage to stand up for what I believe in. I've always heart on my sleeve type of guy. So that bit I do consider against the grain. It takes energy. It's harder. It's the reason why cyclists go in a line and they hide behind each other because the one at the front takes the flak, you know? And I feel like sometimes in this entrepreneur space, that's what I feel like. I don't like to fall in line with, oh, you need to find your niche. You need to niche down. I just think I don't subscribe to the formula of success that everyone talks about. And yeah. So I find myself going on my own. And then, which is why you and I have such a good connection and relationship because in each other, we see ourselves, I guess, in terms of doing things differently, doing it from the heart, not trying to copy what everyone else is trying to do, but trying to find our own unique stamp of doing that, I think.
When I was a little girl, Easter egg hunting, my little sister, and I totally call her out on this, she used to follow me around because she knew I would find the eggs and then she would jump in and grab them. Like, she did that all the time. She's like, well, you do the work, you find the eggs and I'll just snatch them up. And I think that's kind of silly. Yeah, I guess, whatever, Ashley. But anyway, like, that's essentially, I feel like what we're doing is we're just like watching these people and calling behind them and just snatching as much as we can. And I think there's something to be said for learning new tactics and tricks and being mentored by and stuff like that. But also too, there's this part where I've been really conscious of like, I don't want to lose my soul. You know what I mean? I don't want to lose why I'm doing this and preserving that kind of innate thing that you initially feel called to while still balancing growth.
People say to me, or I hear people say as part of their program, you need to find your USP. You need to know why you're different. And sometimes that question confuses me because you don't know what other people are doing if you're not looking. You know, so you're not drawn into this comparison if you're focused solely on your own swim lane. If you're focused on your own swim lane, which is about always better than yesterday, it's who am I right now? Who am I becoming? Well, that isn't predicated on what other people are doing. And when I, it's like coming back to your home base, it's coming back to your solid foundations that you know who you are. You know what you stand for. You know what you're good at. You know what your gifts are. Maybe you don't have absolute clarity on how to use that in the world, but you want to have the courage to show up and try anyway. We lose our power when we start giving that to the people and things around us that say we need to be something else, that say that we need to do something else. So it always, you know, I love a good Disney reference, and it's inside out. It's create. Everything on the outside should be a representation and extension of us.
What would you say is your home base? What is your gift?
My gift is empathy, I think.
Is that a gift?
Yeah. I'm curious to know why you're questioning. I mean, is it a gift?
I'm being a devil's advocate because yeah. I was just in a room a minute ago listening to somebody, and they were kind of trashing on like those, what they call like soft skills or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so, you know what I think about it, but sometimes people see empathy and stuff like that as being soft and not controversial enough. And you need to draw a line in the sand, know what you stand for.
100%, you know, lead with love. Love is tough. And you know, I had this in the police force. Oh, we don't use the word love. Well, love is the strongest emotion we have. And if you can't lead with love, then, or if you don't think, if you think leading with love is weak, then I suggest those people are weak, because it takes a strong heart to embrace the messiness of human beings. I've been in situations where a police officer colleague died on my watch, and I felt a huge degree of response. I was a dispatcher, 999 dispatcher, and it was my job to keep my officers safe. And this one night, an officer was going on his way to back up another couple of colleagues who were in distress, and he left the road and tragically passed. I've had to pass death messages to parents where their son has passed, and that takes an incredibly strong empathic heart to be what those people need you to be in that moment. And if you're too hard, you're too cold, you can't bridge the gap of humanity at that point.
Where do you go to refill? Because that's so much giving. And I don't know about you, sometimes it's incredibly depleting. Yeah.
So I think I'll separate it. I mean, the two examples I've given are extremes. As an everyday, as a leader, you're going to deal with the day-to-day emotions of humanity. I'm tired. My kids aren't sleeping well. You know, that the examples I've given are unfair because they're extremes. Those extreme examples, they broke me, and they caused me to come to a realization that I can't save everybody. And as much as I'll try and I'll give of myself in the endless pursuit of helping, those extreme examples taught me a good lesson that you just can't, you can't save everyone. And there are things far beyond your control. But for the everyday examples, this is where you have to lead yourself before you lead others. And for me, I'm not the sort of guy that, hey, you need to do a morning routine, you need to do these four steps. I'm not that guy. But what I do value is giving of yourself first thing in the day, because whatever you give of yourself will then energize you to go out and give to the rest of you. So the minute I wake up as a leader, I've got my two kids, my wife, my dog, my community, and any team that I go to and I lead. And I'm a servant. I give of myself all day. And that cheesy phrase, if you can't give what you've not got, soon becomes apparent when you've got nothing left to give.
It is true. Yeah.
So that's it. So for me, I get up at 5 a.m. Not because there's a 5 a.m. club, but because I realize that in doing that difficult thing, it helps me. And I'm not saying everybody needs to do that, but what I'm saying is it helps me. I exercise. I don't exercise for the vanity of my body. I exercise for the cleanliness of my mind, the purity of my mind. And in the last 12 to 18 months, faith has been a huge part. You know, God and Jesus, they were not things. I don't mean to say things, but like my wife found God. She's like, you need to find him too. And I ran away. You know, we were going through our struggles and challenges. I ran away because I was a man of science. But
so you didn't have a previous religious background?
No.
Really?
No, far from it. Okay. I was a man of science. Didn't really grow up any reference of faith. Church was a building that looked like, you know, a steeple and had rows of people. And I didn't know any Christians. So it was just a bit stale. And, you know, my image of a Christian was Ned Flanders, like, ugly doggly. And you know, my wife and I, we went through some struggles. I ran away. I went back home and lived with my mum for about a month. after we'd been married, two kids. It was a real desperate time in my life. We came back together. We banged our heads together. We really gave it another go. And in trying to make it up to her, I agreed to go to this Christian festival. It was like my idea. It was a nightmare. I was like, oh, man, thousands of these people. But I went there and it was the most authentic experience I've ever seen. Like just these incredible human beings being authentic, you know, worshipping in the middle of fields with no care about who's watching, all walks of life. It just shattered my preconceptions around what it meant to be a Christian. So it sparked my curiosity. I'm a people watcher. I'm a curious human being. And I leaned in. I decided to ask more questions. I'd already accepted Jesus as this really cool character. You know, I liked the way that he led, but I hadn't accepted him as king at that point. And I went to church again, supporting the wife. And the pastor said, oh, it's Father's Day. Father's come down the front. We'll give you a little bit of a commissioning. And he said something. He said, that's it, ladies. If you want to put your hands out towards these men, you do that. And at that point, it felt like I'd been hadoukened right in the middle of my spine. Lisa put hands out. My whole body caught fire. My eyes started streaming. I just went back to Lisa and said, I don't ever want to talk about this ever again. I just want to say that I'm a child of God and let's leave it at that, you know? And I was just very fortunate that I had a heart experience, not a mind, because I just don't think I'd have ever got to a place where I am now, which is just leaning in, learning and trying to walk the best I can. I
never really, you know, thought about that, but it's true. You talk a lot about the heart. I mean, obviously that's like your logo and stuff, but you would have identified as somebody who leaded with their mind, not their heart, until this experience. Am I hearing that right?
I wouldn't have credited that to God. For me, I understand enough about myself that I lead with love because I care, because I've been so hurt, broken and needed love in my life at one point. That's why I help people lead with love, heart and mind. I think we've got one of each. We need to use them for what they're there for. I think the word mindset is old fashioned now. I think the next 10 years we'll be talking more about, well, it's Carol Dweck's work. I think, you know, everyone's talking about mindset. You know, mindset is everything. Hashtag mindset is everything. And I think mindset is part of the equation, but I think heart set comes first.
How do I know I'm heart set? I'm focused on my heart set. I don't even know if I'm saying that right. What does that mean? I know mindset. I get that. Tell me about heart set.
So heart set is, so this is about, again, the principle of living from the inside out, right? It's this model over my shoulder. We have a heart, we have a mind, we have a skill set, we have a community. Okay. That's what it means to be from the inside out. And the heart set for me is, what do I care about? What are my values? What are my gifts? These are the things within me. Go on that self-discovery journey. They're already there. They're already within me. I need to go and find them within my heart. And sometimes we'll need to use our mind to create the space and time to reflect and to journal and to look. But it's all revealing emotions, how we feel, creating language that describes what we know to be inherently true within us. The mindset's then all about being curious, about learning, about pushing our comfort zone, about being able to perform under pressure. Heart set is about devotion. Mindset is about discipline. You get the good balance of those two. You show up serving your community with the skill set that you have. That for me is the journey of living from the inside out.
And I think that goes back to what we were talking about originally, because when we kind of feel that pressure to conform to the way certain people are leading or whatever, that's all mindset type stuff, when maybe our heart is calling us.
Yeah. So the amount of people that I know that have niched down because they think they had to, and then they get lost. The way I describe focusing on just mindset is that you can achieve great things. You can go really, really far, but I think the risk is that it presents the penguins of Madagascar moment, which is when they go, well, this sucks. You know, I can use my mindset to get promotion. I can get to the top of the corporate ladder. And when I get there, it's like, well, what? Like, you know, or we publish a great guest on the podcast. Well, if that guest doesn't align with our heart and our, you know, and our values and our mission, and we just did it because that's what success is. No, there is no success without doing what you love and being someone you love. If you have to sacrifice those things, you're missing a core part of the framework of success.
Can you talk to me about attracting the right people and content ideas and stuff like that? Because this is what I'm thinking here. And tell me if I'm wrong. Tell me if I'm wrong or right. Okay. I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to do a bunch of outreach. I'm going to hammer out stuff. Dude, I could get in that lane like hardcore, but we already know we've discussed why that's not, you know, maybe the best approach. There's a balance there. But then when you shift into like, well, I want to be heart-centered and really lead with my heart and make sure that I bring into my life aligned content, guests, contacts, clients, or whatever, there's a letting go there. But there's also a scariness because then you think, let me give you a very practical example. Let's say that, like I've been really looking at, you know, people I bring onto my platform and wanting to be more intentional with that as opposed to just like, well, I'm a best-selling author, you know what I mean? But then there's almost this panic, you know what I mean? Like, and then there's this panic though of like, well, will I have enough guests? Yes. And will I be able to fill up my content calendar if I'm leading by the heart?
Mm. Well, the thing about leading with the heart is that you can show up in the world knowing that you don't lack anything. So you don't need anything. You can show up knowing that I can bring of myself and give of myself, and everything else is a bonus. So I am not name dropping, but the episode I published yesterday, I don't need anything from that. And I've got such peace today knowing that, because I think some people get to that point, they publish the biggest ever episode they've ever done, and they go, right, what now? What next? What next? And I'm just like, no, enjoy the moment for what it is. Don't, you know, and anything that comes from it is a gift. So how do you do that? And you have no trouble with this, my friend. You do this very, very well. You have an amazing community. Your challenge will be discerning those who are there because the love of it, or those who are there for the momentum of it. And that will be a challenge that you'll continually have to manage, as I am now, because there are a lot of bottom feeders that are trying to find out my process of how I got the my recent guests. And you can see them a mile away. Anyway, how do you show up and do that stuff with love? Well, I've really had to learn. Coming back to that wanting to be loved, you have to realize that not everybody wants what you have. I think Dieter Von Teese said you can be the juiciest peach and there's always going to be someone that doesn't like peaches. And it's like that. And once you know that to be true, it's like, okay, cool. I'm not for everybody and I don't need to be for everybody. See, when we talk leadership, there's a lot of consultants that'll go, you need to find your vision because vision unites your people. What those people forget is that vision divides. Vision also pre-filters those people who are not meant to be on your bus, i.e. the conventional leaders. We don't want conventional leaders here. Thank you. Or if you are a conventional leader, you're going to learn to be unconventional. Prepare to unlearn some stuff. You know, that's what vision does. It unites and it also divides. And I think for a heart-centered leader, you need to really take that principle to heart. Otherwise, everything feels personal.
What are the practices you have to like attract? You know what I mean? Like tapping into attraction. Does that make sense?
It does and it doesn't, because it's like, do you intentionally go out to attract people, or do you just show up and know that you will attract the right people?
But there's a level there where is that personal development where you're just trying to become better than yesterday every mm-hmm. single day and just trust that the right things are going to happen? Like, where's the balance there of like an intentional attraction and seeking versus just completely letting go?
Good question. And this is the world of paradox, right?
Yeah.
Because leading a community is absolutely about you first and foremost, because it's your heart, it's your experiences, it's your value. You connect with that and you, it's like Matthew McConaughey says in his book, Green Lights. He said the deeper he got in connecting with his story, the more it related to the masses. And that's a paradox, because people think, how do I write a book that connects to everybody and helps everybody? And then you write a so generic book that it just doesn't resonate with anybody. But in getting to the depths of the human experience, your emotions, we all have the same thing in common: love, fear, joy, anxiety, peace, happiness. If I can intimately connect to those experiences and explain, it's like a bridge, where I was, where I am now, and how through the actions I took got across that bridge, then maybe it'll help someone too.
Was there an element in your own story that maybe you resisted kind of digging into, but then when you did, unlocked a bunch for you?
Well, you know, here's a guy that says, oh yeah, lead with love, lead with love. Like, the reality is there was a period in his life, my life, the person that I did that, where I led for love. You know, I was labeled as arrogant. You know, throughout my life, I didn't have a male role model. I was the first person in my family to go to university. Bit of a smart ass. And people knew it. You know, I told people how great I was. I told people what I was doing. Not, and not because I was arrogant, but because I just wanted someone to go, wow, I'm proud of you, buddy. You know, and that continued as I showed up later in my career. I got promoted quite quickly, and then I started finding this leadership thing. And, you know, I've got a heart for helping people, but the way in which I communicated that sometimes just left people feeling that I was telling people how much I knew rather than how much I was helping. And created Always Better Than Yesterday. The community really thrived whilst my relationship was falling down, whilst my work life was falling down. And I took refuge in my community, and I showed up there because people loved me. So what do? You go back to where you're being loved. You don't try and fix the problem where you should be, which is my relationship and being the dad I needed to be. No, that took a battering. My work life just didn't get the best of me, but I was loved in my community. And for too long, I showed up in that space because that was safe and I was loved. And I had to realize that, you know, I had to come out of that and right some wrongs, repair some bridges and heal myself, which is the first time I've probably even said that. But that's a big part of the whole Jesus experience, is that it was that real kind of like, you've got everything you need, my friend. It's all there. And when you said about what do you do for self-care, that is that. I heard a description of, you know, going to God is like a t-shirt, right? It's got this pattern on it that you hold it up to the light. And then when the light turns off, when it goes dark, the light is glow in the dark. And that's what it means to go to God. It means that when the lights go out, you still glow and other people can come around and still see that light. But what happens when it runs out? You go back to the light. And I think that's what it is. I had to learn that I had to go back to the light, fill myself up so I can go and lead without any need, without any expectation. It's really tricky because everything in the world convinces you that you lack something.
Uh-huh. Do you ever feel like the arrogance, whatever you said earlier, that you really dealt with, or all that creeping back in? And how do you kind of like combat it, I guess? Or is it gone?
It's the opposite. I have to make sure that I'm not doing false humility.
Oh, tell me more.
It's like, oh man, it's so amazing that you had your guest on. And it's like, so my response is, yeah, but he's only human, you know? And it's like, I have to check myself. Do you genuinely believe what you've just said?
Yep.
Do you genuinely believe what you said? Or, you know, when I help people and they go and leave a ridiculous testimony and I just say, oh, look, I'm just grateful to do my small part, you know? And it's like, are you doing yourself a disservice, or is that false humility? And sometimes it's just a case of being willing to ask yourself that question. Do you really mean what you just said?
Well, because too, I don't know if you've experienced this. I yesterday twice, and I'm like, is this true or is this crazy? But two different times I had people, and they're not in our space or, you know, all that, but kind of say to me something along the lines of, you know, it's good to see you fail sometimes because it seems like you blah, blah, blah. You know, just saying things where it's kind of like, am I coming across that I have it all together, or is that just people's perceptions? Do people still maybe accuse you of like, well, Ryan, it must be nice to talk about leadership and all of that?
No, because I believe that my greatest lessons aren't in my success, they're in my flaws and in my weakness. I really believe that the greatest lessons I've had in my own life are when things have got hard, that have not gone to plan, because it's through those things that we learn more about what's important to us, what's not important to us, and how to do things differently. I think yes, absolutely celebrate wins and successes, but
people, you know, don't accuse you anymore of being arrogant or knowing it all or anything.
No.
Really? Wow, I need to level up then for sure.
That's what do you awesome. Mean by that?
It's just, you know, you post things about like your failures and all that and try to be as genuine as you can, which I feel like I do, but then I still get crap.
Well, might I just say that that's a reflection of them? Because when you came into my community, the Master Heart of Mind, you were incredibly authentic. You were incredibly real. And the leaders that were there massively valued what you had to say and the honesty with which you did. So I don't think you need to do anything differently, my friend.
I'm just sharing this publicly because I think it's good to hear, you know, like, and there's a balance between checking yourself and also to knowing when other people, it's not about you. And so everybody's perceptions, it's like, we can't control them. It's crazy.
And do you know what? It's like a bowling ball going down the alley. You got the sides up and you're constantly bouncing from one thing to another. So I heard the arrogance thing. The other thing that we've got to be mindful as entrepreneurs is oversharing. So we, you know, I've absolutely had a moment where I shared a picture of a loved one, family member, very old, and I just did that picture of my hand on her hand, and I did some copy around. I don't even know why I said the word copy. I don't like that. I heartfelt post around just my fear around getting old and losing, you know, dementia and things like that. My family that I hadn't seen for a very long time, opposite side of my family, absolutely shredded me to pieces in public on my post. And nothing is going to make you sit back and question. I didn't fight it. I just sat there. My heart was pounding. And I just had to say, you're right. Yeah, I'll take it down. And I'm really sorry if I've offended you, but please know that, you know, this, you know, they were sending me book references, go and read How to Love a Narcissist. And I was just like, look, I assure you that this isn't me. As like, the things you say about me aren't true, but you know, I'm sorry for any upset that I caused. And it's just like, sometimes being an entrepreneur, you put yourself out there, you learn the lessons the hard way.
Word. We have a segment called Unsung Hero. So a lot of times making an impact, we think it's Mr. Seven-Figure Earner or this influencer on Instagram or whatever. But more often than not, the people who influenced our lives were the unfamous people, people you may never even hear of. They were the unsung heroes. I know there are many, but if there's one person or instance that are sticking out in your mind right now, somebody said or did something that just really shifted something in you that you'll never forget, what is your unsung hero?
I come from a generation of men where their dads are their own heroes. And I guess I'm a bit unconventional and I've gone the opposite way. My son, my kids are my hero. And my son was being bullied a couple of years ago at school. We'd become Christians. He was wearing a Christian cross to school and he got really targeted for that. And a friend of ours, Jonathan Darling, he phoned me, you know, he video called me. He lives in Knoxville, Tennessee. And I was like, hey, man. You're right. Friday night and all that. I was excited to speak to my friend. He's like, no, I'm not here to talk to you. He's like, I want to speak to Corey, my son. My son was like 6 or 7. And Jonathan just spoke words over my son like that just would have changed both of our lives. It made me realize the power of my friendship circle and my connections that I'm having on my son. And secondly, that thousands of miles away, Corey is loved by someone that has never even met him. Jonathan said, you know, he said, Corey, you wear that with pride. You know, he said, you are brave, you're courageous, you're an incredible human being, and that you are very loved. And the smile that brought to my son's face. And it just reminds me, Jonathan talks about micro moments, massive impact, and he doesn't just talk about it, he lives it. So, you know, he isn't what you'd say a seven figure earner, no matter how many decimal places these people put on their things. But he will be. And that'll be a testament to the value that he adds in people's hearts. You asked about how do you become a heart-centered leader and attract the right people. My wife was a network marketer and there was always a speaker. This guy was called Sean Brown. He was an incredible speaker, but he didn't say nothing I wasn't saying. I'm looking at my wife going, what do you mean? She's sharing posts and memes about him. Sean's incredible. I'm like, I said that last week. The reality is Sean left a deposit in people's hearts. Sean left people knowing that he cared. Doesn't matter what I said, it was about what he did. So I envied him because he was getting all the attention and the shares. But what I didn't see behind the scenes was the love and the care that he was depositing in people. That's the difference.
Ryan, I have one final question for you. But before then, I just want to honor you. Brian and I just love you to pieces. I can't wait to get to know your wife more one day, hopefully. Yeah. Thank you for your time, your generosity, and being my friend. It's been so cool to get to know you over this past year. Where can people stalk you online and check out all your amazing freaky content?
That's very kind of you. At Ryan B. Hartley would be my Instagram. Always Better Than Yesterday would be the YouTube, Facebook. And yeah, I'm all about community, as are you. And if you want to come around me, if you want to get close, just be open and prepared for me to love you better. I think, you know, that's a prerequisite. I really try and meet people where they are and help them be better in some way. And if that's not your thing, then I'm not your thing. But we are always better than yesterday on Facebook.
And it's not fluffy. Like, he'll love you, like call you out on stuff. He's the real deal. Ryan, very last question. Let's say we were to go back to this man who was walking up to this stage. And there's all these fathers and his wife, Lisa's behind him with their hands stretched out. And he was resisting all of this stuff and had yet to really step into this like heart-centered place as a leader. If you were to go and stand there with that man who was standing there at that pulpit and tell him one thing that you know deeply now that he did not know back then, what would it be?
Leave space for the miracles. Leave space for the miracles. I was too busy trying to control everything that I didn't leave space for the miracles.
Leave space for the miracles. Leave space for the miracles. Ryan Hartley. That was fire, my friend. Make sure you guys connect with him. All of his links are in the show notes. Now let's take some action on this today, my friends. Ask yourself this question. How am I today, wherever you're at listening to this, leaving space for those miracles? We love you. We're in your corner. See you soon.